Are we live?
Yes, let me unmute.
Okay. All right, thank you. Welcome back to the Appropriations Committee. The time is 1:02. That was an interesting lunch, I will say. I just found out that the OSU Cowboys beat the OU Sooners. I didn't know. Do we have a fight song? I guess not. Something about, well, anyways. I'm sorry, second speaker. I'm busy right now. Back to 2408. Any discussion on 2408? Second speaker, did you have anything to say about the SSBCI?
Chair, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Congresswoman Lemon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I just feel like I don't have a full grasp on what this really looks like and how this is going to be structured. And then the new information that we received, that the compliance officer is the self-governance officer also. And so one question is, that person will be deciding on who is eligible for these loans if this is approved. And then understanding how it all works with our current LLC law that we have in place. So I just feel like I'm not as informed as I need to be and to feel comfortable to continue to go forward on this path with this particular initiative and this piece of legislation. So Trey was going to look at some stuff for us. Should I go get him since I'm not on the committee?
Sure, that would be nice. So Candy, are you on the call?
I am.
Okay, so we did review the information that you sent, and thank you for sending the information. And so one thing most certainly looks different now is that you'll be the compliance officer that would be approving the loans. Is that correct?
Well, yes, but that if you look at the loan flow process and you look at my clarification, there are three levels of approval of the loan, and it starts with the lender, and then it goes to DCN, and they check for eligibility, and they review it, and then the lender gives final approval, and then DCN approves it, and then it goes to an external CPA who reviews it for compliance and eligibility, and then it comes to the compliance officer that gives final approval. So none of those steps are skipped that go directly to the compliance officer. It has to go through this loan approval process before the compliance officer will give a final approval of the loan.
Okay.
And then the deal closes. So this is a very carefully designed process to make sure there's enough checks and balances that one person is just not responsible for giving final approval.
Okay, so that's a little bit different than what we heard last week, which would be through Treasurer McIntosh and Chris Coburn from the CDFI.
Right.
Okay.
Because we learned that the advisory committee wasn't really a decision-making committee. It was really to check for, there's a big checklist that they have to meet. And when we were talking with DCN, it turns out that another tribe had changed out that process as well and had a compliance officer rather than an advisory committee. So they still do the same thing, but that's where it is right now.
So Candy, in the business, when say a business approaches the lender, I guess would be the nation or DCN?
No, the lender is a private lender, a bank.
Okay.
Or a financial institution. And
okay, so
they fill out a loan package.
When a business, does that mean like the anybody, any Osage small business, are they Osage owned? Or it can be any native small business, did you say?
Well, it's geared to small business, but their definition of small business is 750 employees or less. And so the business can approach the lender for a loan. And the lender is the bank that puts up the other 50% that matches the SSBCI for the full loan. So the lender analyzes the loan after they submit it and their information, and then they submit it to DCN, who looks at it to make sure they're eligible. And then they approve it. It goes to the lender, gives final approval after they approve it, and then it goes to DCN, and they recommend approving, and they send it to the CPA. So it goes through several stages of approval.
Okay, so Candy, I'm sorry. I had a hard time hearing you on the business. Whoever approaches the lender, is that business? You said it's small business. And did you say it's Osage or Native?
Yes, it can be Osage. It can be Osage or Native. And it's the definition of a small business under SSBCI is employees 750 or less employees. So it's not like a baby business. It's like, could be a big entrepreneur business.
Okay. Now, when you say a business, that doesn't mean like another entity. So like this isn't an area where the nation, our nation itself, would be going to this entity to borrow money. Is that correct?
Well, we could for some things. I think you asked last time about casinos, and casinos aren't eligible, but if we had a gas station attached to a casino, that would be eligible. If we had a, you know, something that was something else that was like out in an enterprise or an LLC, we could make loans there, but casinos are not eligible.
So the Osage LLC could apply for money under this entity or subsidiary?
They could.
Could Osage Home Health?
Well, it's not a subsidy for these organizations. They have to have a business plan. They have to make a loan application. They have to show this is not a supportive handout kind of thing. This is like a loan application, like when you go to a bank and you need it for a certain project. And it's not operations. It's something that you're trying to do that's new or different or a startup business or whatever.
Okay, thank you. Committee, you have any question, or Trey?
I guess the only question that I had was whether the businesses had to be native to apply.
They don't have to be native, but they have to benefit natives. So let's say a big business came in and they were bringing something to the economy, and they're going to hire 20 people, and they end up hiring Osages. And that's a benefit to the economy and to some Osages. So it doesn't have to be an Osage-owned business. It can also be a business that benefits Osages.
Okay, so Congresswoman Lemon.
So I had, thank you, Madam Chair. So I don't know what took place while I exited to go ask Trey the question about better understanding just this entire program on what we're looking at, because this is new. It's new for all of us. And Trey, do you mind sharing with me what your thoughts were about in looking at what's in front of us and giving us like more of a kind of like almost like a snapshot of what we're really dealing with here from what information we've been given here?
Yes. So at first glance of the documents, and I just reviewed them now, we haven't obviously seen the operating agreement. And Candy, please chime in if I say something that's wrong. I'm just trying to get a clear understanding of this as well. and I think you could probably plug some holes. It looks like this is intended to be federal funds utilized to guarantee loans on business loans that wouldn't otherwise qualify at a bank for the purposes of economic development in the Osage Nation. Is that correct?
Yes, but yes, but the business loans are, the SSBCI loans can only cover 50% of the loan. So the business loans have to be subsidized by private lender, like a bank or a CDFI or some other kind of financial institution.
May I continue?
Yes, sir.
And so is it because we're putting that federal money up as part of the loan that they're willing to then go in and make that loan where they otherwise would not?
Well,
because of the risk?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it still has to be a valid loan. It still has to, you know, follow the regulations that the bank is requiring. But yes, it's to help small starting businesses be able to get a loan and start up their business.
Thank you.
Enterprise or whatever it might be.
Congresswoman Lemon.
So the ask is it the 1.1?
I'm sorry?
So you're wanting to put tribal dollars towards this?
No.
No.
No tribal dollars at all?
Uh-uh. We're not talking about any tribal dollars.
You're only talking about federal dollars that is secured. Okay, you made a comment about the CDFI, and I realize you're not talking about our CDFI currently, but when you were commenting to Trey, you commented that,
Well, there are some CDFIs that have been established for a long time, and the one that we've always worked with is the Citizens of Potawatomi, and they've been established for like 14 years. And they make loans all over the country, and they might be willing to bring capital to one of our loans.
So, Andy, are you aware? May I continue?
They have a track record, and they're an experienced lender. And the Choctaws have a bank in Tulsa, and they're a CDFI, and they have a track record, and they've been in business for quite a while, and so they might be an eligible lender as well.
So theoretically, could we open an investor open a some type of a store or a retail or anything that would sell to the consumer on our land up in Missouri with something like this?
I don't know about out of state. I know about in-state in the United States, but I don't know about, and I know about Oklahoma, if I don't know about out-of-state. I guess we could, because we just have to find a bank that would be willing to lend the 50%. And again, it wouldn't be for a casino. It would have to be for something else on that land, golf course or whatever, gas station.
Speaker Good Fox.
So even though this isn't a request for a tribal match and we're only talking about federal dollars, my comfort level on this new venture, and it is a new venture, is I'm very reluctant. And I'm just one vote. But this is the beginning of something that we don't have. We feel like I don't have all the pieces to. I feel like there's many, many unknowns. And so even though there's no tribal request here for a match, it's still if we pass it out, a green light to move forward with things that we are just unaware of. That's how I feel about it. I don't know about anyone else. So I'm not a proponent of this section at all.
May I speak, please?
Yes, go ahead, Candy.
Well, we asked you last week what you needed to make you more comfortable with it, and we supplied some information. But if you're still uncomfortable, why don't you send us a list of questions so we can answer them about what you're uncomfortable about, so we can answer them back in writing, and you can ask us all the questions you have that you need to make you comfortable.
Well, one of the things that I wasn't comfortable with last week was the fact that we were hearing that the approval process was going to go through two people that normally, or it was, I guess, executives' understanding that were people that were, you know, confirmed by this body. And the response back to that was that that's not even going to be those two people now. Now it's an employee that has many different hats, I guess. Now this is just going to be one of them. And I just don't know about that kind of approval process. So whoever the, I don't have that paper sitting in front of me. One person is going to be making all the final decisions on approval process. And they what, listen to the advisors, or what happened to those advisors?
Well, as I explained, the advisors were, when we looked at what the advisors were going to do, it was mainly compliance. But another tribe has done the same thing, and they've changed the advisory committee to a compliance officer because the compliance is the main issue. So we felt like we had the freedom and flexibility to change that to a compliance officer. It doesn't have to be a certain person. It can be another person, but as I pointed out, there's a bank and there's a DCN and there's a CPA that all review and finalize that loan before it comes to that compliance officer. So that should be just to check the box and move forward. It's not all resting on that single person.
Second speaker.
Thank you. So this, Ms. Thomas, I've listened last week, read the information sent to us. I've been listening to you today. So very plainly, what is the benefit to the Osage Nation? Doesn't generate revenue for us in any way. It involves this newly formed LLC that none of us know anything about. We don't have a copy of the signed agreement. So what is the benefit to the Osage Nation for moving forward with this?
Well, of course, the benefit is for small businesses, and that's the purpose of the loan. But one of the biggest benefits is at the end of 10 years, that money can be non-federalized and used by the Osage Nation, however they choose to use it. And I think that was pointed out last time, but we did that. We did get some ARPA and CARES monies to do a small business loan, and we were inundated with people that needed a loan to start their business or to keep their business running. And some of them, they had to prove it was during COVID that they lost their business, but and then we came back when we were looking at the CDFI and we did a target market study of all over the United States and got a lot of information back from that survey. And it showed that that was one of the main areas that people felt like that they needed a loan versus some other thing. So you all probably each got a hard copy of that target market study because we sent it by hard copy and also did it electronically. So we did some research before we just decided to jump into this, but and this was an allocation. This wasn't a competitive grant. They went through and had a formula to divide all this money up among the tribes. And so we were, I think it was either on land use or user population. So this is an allocation to us. And again, I mean, if you want to turn the money back, then we can turn the money back. But when we start turning money back to the federal government, we're really tarnishing our relationship. And I'm willing to do whatever. If we need to get DCN back, if we need to have another meeting with them, we can do that. But whatever it takes to get you where you understand how the program works and you understand we have a lot of checks and balances in place and a lot of compliance issues, and the compliance issues is what makes sure that it happens the way it's supposed to happen.
Congresswoman Stabler.
I might be speaking out of turn or incorrectly, but I just have a lot of questions, and I keep looking for the big agreement, because maybe that is probably going to answer a lot of my questions. But I start immediately wondering about, you know, who's, you know, the recourse for non-payment of the loans, when the loans, who's holding the loan money? Is it our treasury? Are we cutting checks out of the treasury? Or are we cutting checks out of a bank somewhere where this money's going to be held? Or is DCN cutting the checks? Who's handling that money management, and then who's responsible for collection on those? And so this is beyond, to me, just, and like I said, maybe I'm not seeing this right. It's for the nation, it's Candy as the compliance officer. But there's nothing telling me what's going to happen with the money as it flows through, or who's going to control that. And like I said, that credit recovery is a big question. So I guess this is just within our region only, within our nation borders, or within Oklahoma. I also wonder if, how is it DCN makes their money?
Well, number one is we have an operating agreement and a service agreement with DCN.
That's what I'm looking for.
To operate. DCN makes their money by a 3% on the interest rate, and it's approximately $150,000 a year.
Okay.
And where are those? Their money.
Candy, where are those agreements?
Those agreements, we have had those reviewed by the Attorney General, but we've made a couple of changes in them, and we've had to send them back to the Attorney General. This one change about the advisory committee, and the change about...
So we haven't seen them yet, because that's what I was keep looking for.
You haven't seen them because they haven't been fully executed, but they will be pretty quickly.
Okay, well, that's the terms and conditions that I want to review, to know how to understand how this operation actually works. I understand your flow chart, this little thing that looks like a pro forma.
Right.
I'm trying to funds deployed and funds redeployed. So I guess the turnover as the loans are paid off and that capital gets resent out again.
Right.
Cumulative funds. Cumulative federal funds, and then the private capital, matching private capital. Who's got the matching private capital?
The matching private capital comes from a bank or a CDFI or a financial institution. And we're required by that grant to do a 10 to 1 ratio by the end of the grant, showing that we turned that money over 10 times to the $1 that we got. We got $10 in loans out. So it's got a very, very detailed requirement on how those processes work and what the outcome needs to be.
Okay, well, that's where I am. I want to see those agreements. I want to understand this matching private capital. And how, you know, because that's a lot of work. Is that all the work you're going to be doing, Candy?
No, the DCN's going to be doing that, because we needed to apply for this money. We needed an experienced lender, which they are, and they're going to be doing the work. They've got relationships with banks all over the place, all over the country, and they have the ability to work on these kinds of agreements. and get them started and do, we're going to do some marketing to Osages, and they have a lot of contacts. They've been doing this for a long time. So okay. We have a lot of confidence in them. If it was somebody else, we talked to the citizens of Potawatomi, but they ended up applying for their own SSPCI. But they could make a loan to us if they wanted to, if we asked for it, a joint venture loan or something they thought was something they wanted to do. So,
okay, so then
I don't know how to answer all your questions. If you would just write them out, I would just take the time to answer every single question. But every time we talk, more questions come up, and then we try to answer them, and then our answer is not, I guess, sufficient enough to provide comfort level.
So
maybe we need to bring in Cindy Lawson from Citizens of Potawatomi and ask her questions.
So my other big concern, I'll just be honest with you right now, is my other big concern is creating this entity, even though it's one-time money, it's something that's going to last for years and years and years, and it's going to be placed under the government side when our Constitution says businesses shall be separate.
Well, that's a legal question I can't answer.
Okay. All right. That's all the questions I have right now, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Ms. Candy, the document that you were talking about that you had sent, and I don't doubt that you did, on the data that you provided on the number of small business owners throughout the country, do you know when it is that you sent that, and which which packet? Was that at the end of special session?
No, this was some time ago. Susan, can you discuss the target market survey, please?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Good afternoon, Susan.
Good afternoon. So the target market study was one that we developed, and it went out to multiple small businesses, or it just went out to like a how we usually do our surveys. We publicize it out. We try to get as many people to complete it, and then we just take the data. We had assistance with OISTA, and they helped us develop it and send it out, and we got as many as possible. And then we took the data, which was the large piece, and then we kind of condensed it down. And I think what got sent to you guys was the condensed version.
Do you know when that may have been?
I don't, but I can resend it to you guys.
I was wondering if the committee would like to see that, because that was going to be something I focused on, was the need. And I didn't know if this was something that we gathered from the census or...
No, it was before the census.
Okay. Okay. Well, that was kind of what I was wondering. Could you send that to Brooklyn?
Absolutely.
And Jordan Davis, and then they can send it to us, because... It's do I feel like the need is there? Probably, yes. But I don't know how many small business owners that we have. And I think we've tried over the years with this government to try to create that information. I think Congresswoman Stabler was even part of that. You know, through our tax commission at one time. And we had spoke about, you know, creating even an area on our website that would help advertise our own small business owners, or, you know, folks with a specific area, like CPAs, attorneys, and what have you.
I think there's been a couple of initiatives like that. It's just very difficult to get that information and then maintain it.
Absolutely. But I am curious, because I thought, well, number one, I would imagine that we do not seek, Otto could answer this, we probably shouldn't be seeking after federal dollars unless we show a need base on any level. And I don't know what that criteria is, but I'm sure that there has to, you would have some supportive need.
or have to validate or show
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure to send it to you guys.
So I was just curious as, you know, what does that look like? And then, and again, and I think you guys are, everybody on this call, I can see those that are in attendance, most of you, and those listening, and even over the weekend, like discussions about this, it's not that folks are saying we don't need it, and it doesn't sound like a great opportunity for people. It's just that, again, it's not rolling under our current lending institution. And so it's that sensibility. It's not under our current lending institution. And last week it was mentioned that it'd be under maybe down at Skyway. Now, I don't. So that's going to be at your office. And again, there's just a lot of questions. I do want to support the initiative, but right now it's this doubling up on broadband and cattle operations and now lending institutions, and I can get behind it if it makes sense. Does it make sense that we want to serve our people in these areas? Yes, but to what degree? What does this look like? And I'm just trying to picture, you know, feet on the ground, someone with a small business walking in to apply, what that looks like. I feel like if I were to explain it to a Osage, a small business owner, that I would have a hard time at this point. And I can get there, but yeah, I think why wouldn't we have an office, you know, in our lending institution, in our own banking area, you know, where someone could go in and it just seems like it may be all over the place right now. Just a lot of change even since last week.
May I speak?
Yes, ma'am.
We cannot, our CDFI is not even certified yet. They have to make 12 loans in 12 months to become certified. And I would be, I don't see any way to put this program under them until they get their feet on the ground and they make some loans and they establish some accountability, because that's just how the regs are right now. So it's not that we don't want to, it's just that they're not ready to do that yet. And we're hoping to do that at some point in time. So we've talked with them about it and they understand it. And Chris operated the CDFI for Muskogee Creeks for 8 years. So he understands how those kinds of things work. And he's putting boots on the ground pretty fast. I saw where he just opened up his loan program. It's a small loan program, but at least it's open and available right now. Yeah. So we hope to get there someday, but we're not there right now.
How is it, Candy, on the executive branch side, since you work under the Office of the Chiefs, how is it that you're explaining it to constituents?
Mainly because we've been involved in the application.
Well, that's what I'm, yeah.
He assigned the CDFI to me before it was ever up and running. And Chief and I went and spent a day at the Citizens of Pottawatomie. And he said, I want to do this and I want your department to develop it. And we did. Susan, I think I mentioned last week, Susan Bayrow has put together a manual for the board, the CDFI board, that's about 4 inches thick. And it has everything from our Open Meeting Act to the CDFI, everything related that a CDFI needs to know, sample loan programs, all kinds of things. And so our goal was to get it up and running and turn it over to the CDFI board. And that's what's happened. And that's where we are now. But we were assigned to get it up and running, to put it together.
Okay. Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon.
Okay. I want to thank you, Candy, for all the information. We have identified a few things that we would like to see. I remember a lot of the discussions before the CDFI began, and I remember prior Assistant Chief, you know, Red Corn and visiting with him and how passionate he was about what he was doing and trying to sell us on the CDFI. And we had a lot of questions. We did. We had a lot of questions. We knew that some of them weren't going to be 100% black and white, if you want to call it that way. We knew that, but what they did provide us was a timeline. That is something they did provide us. And I do recall, we talked about that last week when we talked about this. I'm going to tell you, whenever they announced their loans next door at CDFI, I got 25 text messages from people that aren't small business owners, some that are small business owners. So when Congresswoman Rebar made her comment about how many small business owners do we have, that's an important number to know, but how many people would like to go into business but have tried to go into small business and don't have the ability or the capital or the credit, all these things. We know that small business has been something that, has been lacking. We know that that's those mom and pop shops, but I'm telling you, I had 25 texts within a matter of, a week, asking about the CDFI's loans. I mean, I was even hit up at a funeral, y'all. That is another small business owner asking, I need $50,000. When can I apply for it through the CDFI? And so I explained to them what was going on at that time. I don't doubt that there's a need. I think there's a lot of questions that we have. There's a lot of apprehension because we don't understand it. And sometimes we're asked to do things down here without all the information. And sometimes it's passed out without all the information. It has. It's passed out of this body before for the greater good. CDFI wasn't completely, cut and dry until we got into the articles of operation and incorporation. We could see that a whole lot better. The board was set up. We had a great communication with the board at that time. And so I'm not surprised that we have a lot of questions, that we have a level of uncomfortableness concerning this particular money. Is this something we want to start getting into? I got messages saying, why would we want to get into this if we had the CDFI? I get an explanation that the CDFI can't even do this for us right now, even if they wanted to, but because they're not certified. So why would they even take that on? They actually can't take it on. So really they don't have a voice in this, in my opinion, because they can't take it on. They're not qualified. So, we're asked to look at it from a view of who's out there that we don't know that would like to get a loan and can't get a loan, that would like to, get out of the rat race and have their own business. And so I understand that it's a work in progress. I think that one of the biggest things that's holding us up at this particular point is the operating agreement. I really feel that if we had could lay our eyes on that, because we got to lay our eyes on a lot of the information that came from the CDFI before we voted in their articles, before we approved them. So to say that we don't need two lending things, I agree, but they can't help us if they wanted to, because they're not certified. So then you have to decide, okay, if we don't want to go forth with this, then do we just send the money back, and then when they are certified, then we go apply for the money again? That's another thing to do. It looks bad to send money back to the government. We're having this conversation with almost $90 million, possibly $18 million to possibly going back to the government this year if we don't utilize it and pass forth the well plugging. That's a whole nother situation. But there's just some uncomfortable gray areas, and we have to figure out how to get past that. And I think the operating agreement will help. The compliance situation, by reading the documents, made me feel like Candy was going to be the one and only, but by her talking to us and telling us that she's not going to be the one and only who's making all the decisions concerning this, that it's going to be DCI, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay, because there's so many acronyms, SSBCI and all that kind of stuff. So one of those questions you have to ask yourself too, I feel like, are all federal dollars something we should go for all the time? Like, is there a need? So I have no doubt that there's a need for loans for small business owners. But there's some federal grants we go for that maybe we shouldn't. We might be taking a dollar away from another tribe that is more pitiful than we are. I understand the apprehension. There was a lot of apprehension with the CDFI. I'd be interested to know what former Assistant Chief Redcorn actually had to say on this topic, and I think I'm going to give them a phone call, personally. But I think the operating agreements is something that we definitely need to move forward.
So is the committee wanting to, we have until 2 p.m.? So the committee, I'm just going to leave this course up to you guys to decide. I've got a meeting scheduled tomorrow. Committee, what are you thinking? Second speaker, Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. And this is just my opinion. Look, this may be a very, very good thing to do for our people. I don't doubt that somewhere there it is. But again, I'm not feeling super comfortable with some of this information. It sounds like my colleagues are not. This particular piece is holding this piece of legislation in committee. Are we going to feel more comfortable with it tomorrow? I don't think so. So, and I appreciate, Ms. Thomas, that you're willing to answer any questions we have, et cetera, but it still does seem a little cloudy to me. Maybe my, you know, maybe I'm just not grasping some of the concepts, but I just don't think that leaving it in committee tonight with this portion in the legislation is going to make more sense to us tomorrow.
Okay, could we just, then committee, if I kind of know you guys well enough, if it's not going to go anywhere, would you guys at least be in favor of, if you choose for it to come out of this bill, because we don't have to address it like the well plugging, because it wasn't on Chief's proclamation, which I felt like it should have been a separate if he were doing the well plugging, because I thought it was just as important, even though it's a different amount, the topic, the subject matter is, then would the committee be okay then if we just discuss this too in another special session and you'd be open to that? Because I agree with Candy in that I don't want to return money to the Department of Treasury. This isn't like a donation like we talked about with Phillips 66, because I could care less about Phillips 66, honestly, to that degree, as far as donations go. But I'm just curious. Congresswoman Stabler?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, I'm just trying to make sure that I understand what can happen and how it's going to work. I just need a better understanding and about it. And I'm sorry it's taking me so long to get this, but I'm just too curious right now. I don't want to turn the money back if we don't have to, and I want our people to have a place to borrow money. Just not sure why it's so government involved in our end of it, but maybe I can get there. So I'd like to take more time. We've already discussed we're coming back, so I'd be for that if everybody else is.
Speaker Goodfox?
I'd be for that. So with that, I've got a committee amendment for ONCA 2408, page 16, line 685 through 725, strike section O, section 30A, and adjust totals accordingly.
Second.
We have an emotion and a second. Any discussion?
Jordan's coming up here with a face.
Oh, okay.
Was that on the proclamation too?
No.
No.
I already checked, Jordy.
Thank you. Okay. Congresswoman Stabler?
I was just going to just say, and then we've got some days that we can work on this, and so I commit to doing the work on it so we can have a decision.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Seconded that, Paula?
No, Pam.
Okay. Any other discussion, committee? Okay. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, the motion passes. All right, committee, any other action on the bill? Second speaker.
Thank you, Chair. Motion to report ONCA 2408 to Congress with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, committee. Well, our last, what do you want to do about tomorrow's meeting? Do you want me to cancel that?
Yes.
Okay. I'll cancel that meeting. And then the last item on our agenda is adjournment. And before that, it's very serious. Is just wanted to say go Pokes.
Chair. Too much.
Is there a second?
Nope.
Motion. Not on the go Pokes, but to adjourn. Okay. Motion. We have a motion, a second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no.
Thank you.
All right, go Pokes.
Keep poking the bear, sis. I know you mom is going to come up over that
if
chair.
I could have had a video of Paul, I would make that into a meme, and then Paula was just going
when
she didn't have to, she would let you do it now. She can't stop her.
When?
You're back there.